my brother Roy came to know the Lord, he, as we used to say in fundamentalist circles, he got a dose. He got saved from top to bottom all the way through. Then he got in the military under somebody's influence. I don't know who would have talked him into that, how wonderful that would be for him. Went off to Germany and drifted away from God. And you guys in the military know that can be an easy thing to do. It's all around you, the temptations and the troubles. And it was during the Gulf War, and he was serving in an evacuation hospital, or a main hospital, actually, in Germany, where they would bring casualties back. But the Lord got a hold of his heart and reminded him who he was and where he came from and what he had done for him, and changed his life. And I appreciate it, Lord. He is a blessing. He is probably the funniest man I have ever known in my life. That is no joke, pardon the pun. He can make water look funny. I don't know why, but he does. But I'm glad he's here. He's here to speak to us this morning. Come on.
Good thing there's an altar here all in line. He was just telling y'all. But it is indeed an honor and a privilege to be able to preach God's Word. I want you all to know that I went through two different sermons. I probably didn't pick the best one, but here you go. I want you all to, before I begin, I always like to, before I eat, I always like to pray. And so I want to pray over the message today as we eat God's Word and hopefully grow in it. Dear Grace, Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll help me to be what you need me to be. I pray, Lord, that you'll help me get hold of him in your garment. Lord, that I would be and say what I need to say today that will be helpful to your people. And go with us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. When I was in the Tennessee Army National Guard, I was in a MASH hospital, which the Army doesn't have them anymore. I'm getting so old, the Army doesn't have a lot of stuff I used to enjoy or deal with. But the Army changed them to cash hospitals, they call them, because they used to be called mobile Army support hospitals, and they put them as close to the combat as possible, and they're mobile. They could pick up and move. However, now it's easier to get the wounded soldiers to a better hospital, so they're further back, and so they call them a combat support hospital. And so they're further away. But back when I was in, the Army was still using deuce and a halves and five tons, things like that. And I remember a bunch of us, we had a new recruit. He'd come fresh out of basic training. And he was all bushy-eyed, doe-eyed, and scared. And here's all these sergeants and everything else. And they're not yelling at him like he was used to for basic. And we're all just sitting around having a good time. And he was just, wow, this is different than I expected. We're getting ready, and they load us on the back of these deuce and halves, and we're going across the field somewhere. I started to get in. My platoon sergeant said, "No, you're driving." I said, "Okay." So I got him driving. A bunch of guys got in the back, and one of my section sergeants says, "Who's driving?" And I heard the new guy say, because it's just canvas between you and the back, and the new guy said, "Oh, it's okay. They call me Skelch, because Skelch is so hard to say." So they would just call me Skelch, and they said, "It's okay. Skelch is driving." And my section sergeant says, "What?" And I'm like, "Hold on." And he said, "You know you ain't allowed to drive when there's people in here." I said, "Talk to Sergeant Monroe. We're going." And I took off across the field. And we're bopping. And we're going. And we're on. I pulled that thing in right where it is. I run around the back because I couldn't wait to see their faces. And I pulled it top down, pulled that thing over. And they're all like, "This hat's on to you." And I'm like, "You're here." And they jumped out. And that new recruit says, "I've been so scared, buddy." And he goes, "What you doing driving?" I said, "Ask Sergeant Monroe. He's the one who told me to get in there." And he said, "Sergeant Monroe," he said, "What was you thinking?" I said, "Oh, he's got a license. You'll be fine. Just be quiet." And I told that to tell you this joke. There was a priest who died and went to heaven, and at the same time, there was a taxi cab driver who died and went to heaven. And they got there, and Peter says, "Well, come on." He took the taxi cab driver first, and he brought him to his mansion. Oh, my goodness gracious. Walls made out of precious stone. Beautiful, gorgeous, big, giant pool. I mean, it was amazing. This taxi cab driver was like, "Wow, this is awesome." And then he says, okay, so he took the priest and they went down. And he brought this old little shack. And he had this little shack and it was all run down. And he was like, man, he goes, I think he made a mistake. He said, I have preached the word. And I've done the work of God. He said, and I'm getting the shack. And they said, well, the difference is, he said, when you preached, people slept. When he drove, people prayed. So that's where we're at this morning. I want y'all to
read with you. You just tell me.
Amen. I like to make people close to the Lord. Amen. So turn with me to Romans chapter 5. I don't know why the Lord gives certain messages, but there is somebody here today that this is going to help. And when you're doing an Easter service like that, I'm going to assume most of you already know Jesus. If you don't, I don't know what you're holding back from. But you need to accept Jesus Christ as Lord. If you already know Him as Lord and Savior, then I hope this educates you some and helps you some to understand some of the things His Word. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version, but whatever... King James, anything else is good as well. Love them. But I want you to read with me in Romans chapter 5, starting verse 12. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sin. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who is the type of the one who is to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift of the grace by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if because of one man's trespass death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to the condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness led to the justification for all, and life for all men. For as by one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by one man's obedience the many were made righteous. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Through one man's sin, all of us were born into condemnation. But through one man's righteousness, we all found freedom and salvation. That's the amazing thing about Jesus Christ, the amazing thing about God. I remember growing up not understanding exactly how it is that we're all guilty because of Adam. But the thing is, you got to remember, is the total opposite is the fact that we're all freed because of Jesus Christ. And so, grace is so important for us today. Grace is what most of us want. Unfortunately, most of us don't give grace as much as we want grace. When you're driving the car and somebody makes a mistake and cuts you off because they weren't looking properly, oh my goodness, you are giving them down the road how stupid they are. What a bad driver they are. But then when you're driving your car, you cut somebody off and you know that person behind you is angry, you're like, oh, calm down. Because we want grace. We don't like to give grace. And we need to make sure that we, as examples of Christ, are as willing to give grace. We were working at the church at Canvas, and we've been blessed. We've been working really hard with the prisoners. Those that come from the Coffee County Annex. These are not your hardened murderers, things like that. These are people that maybe hadn't paid child support or something like that. And they're the ones that usually go out and work around the community and everything else. And we were working at the church, and they said, can you bring us up there? Because if not, they're just stuck in the jail all weekend long, and we could use the help. So I'll find out. So we worked it out. I was able to go pick them up each Sunday. The last five Sundays where we've been working at the church, bringing them out there. But we also go and we pick them up every Sunday morning. We bring them to church. And they're sitting under the gospel. And one of the guys said to me, he said, I want to thank you for bringing me here. You're changing my life. And I hope so. I hope so. I don't know if y'all realize this or not. In Coffee County, well, in Tennessee as a whole, The average recidivism rate, that's the rate at which people get out of jail and then go right back into it, is about 75 to 78%. In Coffee County, it's 85%. I don't know what it is in Coffee County, but they seem to like the jail. They don't want to stay out of it. And we'd like to change that. We'd like to change these people's lives. We'd like to change their family trees.